continuing in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and today I want to begin with chapter 3, if you'll turn there in your Bible. First Thessalonians chapter 3. The title of today's message is called The Fight of Faith. Our faith needs to be fought for. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. And we're also involved in a fight. It's a struggle that when we come to know Jesus Christ, something wants to take our faith away. Sometimes it is trials, sometimes it's the work of Satan, but you'll see in this book of 1 Thessalonians that there was a struggle even there that Paul was concerned about how they were doing in their faith. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. And I pray that if you're a person today who's struggling in your faith, that you would find some answers. Or if you're a person who's doing well, you would be willing to help somebody who's struggling. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. So when we could stand it no longer, how many have ever been in that condition before? When we could stand it no longer, now in a few moments I'm going to show you what he was talking about, because that's back in chapter 2. He was explaining a few things, and he said, since we could stand it no longer. And then for those of you who didn't hear the earlier chapters, just to recap, Paul went to Thessalonians. He was there a short time, maybe 3 weeks, preaching the gospel. And people got saved, but they were persecuted and cast out of the city. And so they ran down to the next town, which was called Berea. And the Bible says that in Berea, people listened to what Paul said. They were more noble than the Thessalonians because they at least listened and they searched the scriptures to see if what he said was true. So in Thessalonia, there was a resistance toward the preaching of the gospel, but there were some people who he's writing to who did receive. And Paul, because he was there only a short time, was concerned, how are they doing? How would it be if you're a brand new Christian, maybe 3 weeks old in the Lord, maybe a month old in the Lord? Paul didn't really have a long time to set a good, strong foundation there, and they're cast out of the city. These people are now exposed to persecution, and you know that Satan wants to put an end to their walk with the Lord as well. And so Paul was writing back, concerned, trying to some way get back in touch with these people to strengthen and encourage them. The hope was that their faith would stand firm and they have not been shaken. So that's what's happening here in chapter 3. When we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. And so we sent Timothy, who is our brother, and he's a co-worker in God's service. How many of you know it's good to have co-workers in God's service? Who is a co-worker here today? Every hand should be up. Every hand should be up. We are all co-workers. I'm going to ask again. Who's a co-worker here today? There you go. We all are. We are laborers together with God. And hopefully, if you've been brought into his kingdom, you're a co-laborer with him. And so Timothy was a co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ. And Paul said the reason why we're sending him is to strengthen and encourage you in what? In your faith. So when I study the Bible, you're going to find this yourself as you study and you see this chapter, this word faith keeps coming up over and over again. It's in here 4 or 5 times in this particular chapter. So it tells me there's something about faith that God wants to teach us here. So Timothy was sent for the specific reason to strengthen and encourage people in their faith. And he says, he continues to say, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. This word unsettled means to be shaken. It's almost like you're sitting on a foundation and you're somehow moved off of the foundation. Trials like this and the persecution they were going through can move people off of their foundation. How many of you have ever, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever gone through a difficult time in your life and you found yourself moved off of a foundation? Or you may know of other Christian brothers and sisters who've gone through a struggle. Maybe not persecution like these people, but at least some sort of a trial has come their way and they've been shaken. They've been moved and pushed off of a foundation. And it's a grief to me to see a person who's walked with the Lord, who's known the Lord, who's been a brother or sister in the faith, and then somehow something comes into their life that shakes them. And that's what Paul was writing about here. I want to send Timothy to strengthen and encourage your faith so that you are not moved, you're not unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. How many of you know that's not always a nice thing to say to Christian people? You know quite well that we are destined for them. If you've ever been told or you've ever said, come to Jesus and all your problems will go away, don't say that anymore. Because it's really not true. Sometimes when you come to Jesus, problems begin. Paul said to these people, you know quite well that we are destined for these trials. Things that could potentially move you, shake you. We are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. And so he's basically saying you've experienced it. It's not just a theory anymore. You've actually walked in persecution, and I'm concerned that your faith is going to be shaken. And that's why I'm sending Timothy to strengthen and encourage your faith. We can stand under any trial. We can stand under persecution if our faith is intact. And that's what Paul was sending Timothy for. Verse 5, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer. Man, Paul had a problem, didn't he? He just kept not standing. He can't stand things. And so I couldn't stand any longer. I sent to find out about your what? Your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. Paul had labors. We are co-workers with God. We are laborers together with him. And there are some times you can invest your labor into the life of another person, and the trial or something comes into their life, or the tempter tempts them, and somehow they're moved off their foundation, and Paul says, our labor could be in vain. Isn't that a sad thing? That somehow all the things that were poured into those lives of those people there would come to nothing because they were shaken or moved off of the foundation. My hope is that my labor and your labor would not be in vain as we work with people in the Lord, as we try to help them come to know Jesus and then stand with him. But it takes labor. W-O-R-K. Work. It takes work. It doesn't just happen. There is a laboring that goes into the ministry of God's people to help them stand. And we're talking about something that affects these people for eternity. Isn't that true? So I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you. So Timothy went, got a report. He's bringing it back to Paul. And he says, he's brought us good news about your what? Your faith. Timothy has good news about your faith and your love. Let me say something about that, because I think sometimes when we go through difficult circumstances in life, it can affect our love. The Bible says in the last days, difficult times will come or terrible times will come, and the love of many will grow cold. Have you ever read that before? The difficulty sometimes wears upon the soul and the heart of a person to where their love grows cold. We stop being people of love and we become cynical, we become angry, we become resentful, we feel like God has somehow abandoned us or whatever it may be. But there's something that can take place in the soul of a person when they undergo trials. Well, we heard today about Ted was sharing the story of Job, and there's a great example of a guy who went through a very difficult trial, but his love for the Lord never changed. In the midst of his trial, he fell down and said he worshiped God. His wife was affected differently, wasn't she? She's like, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, why don't you just give up on this? There was something about Job. His faith was secure. Nothing would shake that man. And that's the kind of people we want to be, isn't it? Because, you know, we're bound to go through trials as well. I don't know what the Lord's going to bring upon our country. There are Christians in the world today being persecuted even unto death. Thankfully, that hasn't happened here, but who says it won't? But nonetheless, even if that doesn't come into your life, you will still face trials. Paul said one time, it is through much tribulation we enter the kingdom of heaven. And so I hope that your heart is prepared that whenever you go through trials of many kinds, you are unshakable, you are unmovable, and your faith remains intact. And sometimes we need the help of another person, like a Timothy, who will come to us and strengthen and encourage us with respect to our faith. And that's okay. He brought us good news about your faith and your love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. You know, if I was going through distress and persecution, the thing that would encourage me most, who knows? If it stopped, that would really be encouraging. But Paul was saying, even in the midst of our suffering and persecution, we're encouraged because you guys are standing fast. There was something in this man's heart that was really into the lives of the believers. And I pray that somehow God could put that inside of all our hearts. That we have such a love for the body of Christ, such a love for other brothers and sisters in Christ, that the thing that brings joy to us as we see our brothers stand in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a persecution, in the midst of a suffering, that when we see somebody whose faith is being shaken, that we are one who will act like a Timothy and run to encourage and strengthen them because we want them to stand firm. We don't want the labor to be in vain. We want them to continue in the faith over the long haul. And Paul was saying, this is what brings me joy. I was encouraged because of your faith, for now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if the things that really turned you on as a person is how somebody else is doing in Jesus? So much of our life is centered around me and my life and what's going on with me and the joy that I'm getting and the suffering I'm going through. What about my brother? What about my sister? And that's what you see here in the heart of the Apostle Paul. A thing concerned about them, wanting their faith to be strong, and then when finding out that they were okay, brought joy to his life. We live since you are standing firm in the Lord. And that's what faith does for us. It helps us to stand firm. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Paul said, we have joy in the presence of God because of you. Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your what? In your faith. So even though they were standing in faith, they were standing firm in the midst of their suffering, Paul said, we want to come again, we want to see you face to face, and we want to supply what is still lacking in your faith. So we can be strong in faith and still grow in faith, right? And so there's a need, I think, in all of us to say, Lord, what is lacking in my faith? And can you bring somebody into my life that will speak into my life, just like Paul would go to the Thessalonians and help supply what's lacking? And how do we do this? We do this by encouraging one another. We do this by taking a brother aside who's going through a struggle, and we share with them, we pray with them, and we turn their hearts to the Scripture, and we help them get their perspective changed, so they can start seeing things God's way, and maybe something that's lacking in their faith that may be moving them off the foundation reaffirms them. It kind of sets some rebar in there and says, hey, I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be moved. And sometimes we need that in our life, don't we? Somebody to help supply what's lacking in our faith. Now, may God our Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase. Along with our faith, as I said before, we need to make sure that our love is intact. And not only that, but it would increase. How many of you know there's no limit to how much love you can have? It is the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we can be people full of love. And he says, may your love increase and overflow for each other and everyone else, just as ours does for you. And may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. And so Paul was looking to the end. He was looking to see these people stand firm in the Lord all the way to the end. Now, why was Paul so concerned about their faith? Well, I think sometimes when we define faith, sometimes people call it like, I belong to the Christian faith. It's kind of like another name for a religion. Or I have a certain statement of faith, which I believe these things. And those are all good. And there's nothing wrong with that. But faith is something that is a very concrete thing within my heart that enables me to take what God says in his word and to believe it to the point that I'm unmovable in it. I'm unshakable with what the Lord has said. In Hebrews 11, it talks about faith. It describes it as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he gives examples like Noah, by faith, built an ark. Why? Because God said, build the ark. And Noah said, you know what? I've never seen rain before. I don't even know what a flood looks like. But the Lord says, build an ark. And so I'm going to go ahead and build the ark. And by faith, he did that. Because he simply believed what God said and acted on it. Sarah, by faith, conceived a child. Right? Way past the age of bearing children. But because God said this, somehow she believed it. Abraham believed it, and they were able to conceive and bring forth a child of promise because it's something that God had said. And God's word is something that Satan always wants to come against. I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Satan's tactic has always been to remove the word of God. Remember the story of the parable of the sower and the seed? And it talks about the seed that was sown by the roadside. And he said, the birds of the air come down and they pick up the seed and fly away with it. He said, this is the enemy. A person hears the word and the enemy comes and takes the word out of their heart so they won't believe and be saved. Satan, from the very beginning, questioned God's word or made people question God's word in the Garden of Eden. The Lord said, don't eat from this one tree. What does Satan say? Did God really say that? There's always a thing within his heart to question God's word, to kind of move upon his people to question his word. And that's really the source of our faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if we start questioning the word of God, where are we going to get our faith from? There is an onslaught against the scripture today in our world. I mean, there are people, well, it's just written by men. How many have ever heard that before? How many have ever said that before? Thank you, God. They will say that the Bible is full of contradictions. They will say that it's one of many books, many ways that lead to God. You could take this, you could take that, join them all together, pick them all, just to make sure you're covered. There are... I just read an article about the illiteracy, what they call Bible illiteracy in America today. People just don't know anything about the scripture. And it's true. I've gone out this past year, and I would say at least half the people that I've witnessed to have no biblical reference in their heart or mind. I mean, if you try to talk to them about Noah or Adam and Eve, they've never heard of it before. And it's just unbelievable to me that Satan has been able to come and somehow dig away from our people here the influence of God's Word. Look what happened here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, "We thank God continually because when you received the Word of God," remember in Thessalonia there were people who rejected the Word. That's why Paul and them left and went down to Berea. But there were some who received it. He said, "We thank God when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the Word of God." What do you think of the Bible? What do you think of it? Is it the Word of God? Is it a human word? Is it the Word of man, or is it the Word of God? I believe it's the Word of God. God breathed, spoken out of His heart, given the Scriptures. You say, well, that, you know, we don't have the originals. God is capable of being able to preserve His Word. He's the one who put the whole universe into existence. Why can't He preserve His Word for His people? That's just what I believe. You accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. You see, the Scriptures, God's Word, will work in you if you accept it as the Word of God. If you have faith and you say, yes, I believe this is God's Word, I want it to have a place to work in me. That's what began to happen in the heart of the Thessalonians. They heard it, they received it, they believed it was the Word of God, and all of a sudden their lives began to change. Paul wrote to them in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, "You have work produced by faith." He said in verse 8, "Your faith in God has become known everywhere. We go out and tell others about you, but they say, we've already heard about these people. You turned from God, or you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And so the fact is, when these people received the Word of God and accepted it as it is in truth God's Word, it began to bring about a change in their life. And so faith is not just a belief system. It's not just a religion I belong to. It is something that I hold so deeply and so real in my heart that it brings change to me. I start living my life differently. When the Bible says, for example, forgive your enemy, I have faith. I believe that's what God says. I believe it's God's Word. And so I'm moved by my faith to do this. When the Bible says, love your spouse, love your wife as Christ loved the church, something should move in us to push us in this direction. When the Bible tells us that He will never leave me or forsake me, faith says, this is true, even if I'm sitting in a prison somewhere being persecuted for my faith, and my faith is unshakable. There's something about faith that takes what God says is true and makes us unmovable. And when I say unmovable, I don't mean being, what's the word I want? Huh? Not snotty. Is that what someone said? Yeah, not snotty about it. But I'm unshakable in a nice way. I don't want to be moved. I don't want things in this world to move me from faith. I want to stand for Jesus no matter what. And I want my brothers and sisters to stand for Jesus. And I want to be able to say that some of the joy that comes into my life is because of my brothers and sisters. And when I get grieved, it's because somebody has been moved from their foundation. So they received the Word of God. It's an interesting word in the Greek language. It means to associate with oneself. And it's the same word that was used when it says Joseph took Mary to be his wife. How many of you know if you take someone to be your wife, you're planning to associate yourself? Well, that's the same. The word took, Joseph took Mary, is the same word in the Greek language that says they received
the Word of God. I'm taking this, and I plan to associate myself with this. It's a good word. And they accepted it as God's word. And that began to work in their life. That word work is the same one that's used in Philippians 2, verse 13. It says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and do according to his purpose." So God's word, when I believe, when I accept it, when I receive it, let it have a place to take root in me, brings change to my life. How do you know if you're in the faith? How do you know if you're in the faith? Well, I said a prayer one day. Saying a prayer one day isn't really it. You can pray a prayer, but the question is, have you received Jesus? Have you received his word? Has it had a place to be rooted in your life to where faith came alive and now it's affecting how you live? You know, repentance always brings about a change. Faith brings about a change. And these are the things that Satan wants to stop out of your life. He doesn't want you living God's way. He doesn't want you walking in obedience to his word. He doesn't want you being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And so we find here in, I'm going to close with this scripture in Psalm 19. And then I'll sum it up. This is a great scripture that talks about ways that the Word of God works in us. Psalm 19, verse 7. It says, "The Lord is perfect." How many believe that? Yes. Reviving the soul. If your soul needs reviving, it's in here. You know, we'll run all over to go to conferences and listen to tapes and radio shows and run all over the world to try to get revived. Revival is found here. This is where it is. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. If your soul is all bent out of shape and you need to be revived, you need to come back to the starting place, get into the Word of God. It'll bring faith. It'll revive your soul. You don't have to go to a revival meeting to be revived. It's here. Amen? It says, "The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." And other versions call that simple person a foolish person. How many of here have ever been a foolish person? I have. I've made foolish decisions. I've lived a foolish life. I've walked in a foolish way. But when I became a Christian, when I became a man of God, and God's word began to take root in my heart, and I began to grow in faith, I hope I'm making wise choices. But it's God's word that helps me discern the difference. Read the book of Proverbs, and you'll find over and over again, the foolish man does this, the wise man does this. The foolish man is this way, the wise man is this way. So God's word gives us deep instruction about wisdom versus foolishness. It's good for our children. It's good for us. The precepts of the Lord are right. I believe they're right. Giving joy to the heart. If you're a person walking around with depression, discouragement, always down in the dumps, what do you need? I need some joy in my heart. Well, don't go to a party and get drunk. Come here. Giving joy to the heart. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You're going to be influenced by one thing or the other. You're going to be either influenced by the Holy Spirit or influenced by alcohol. Choose the Holy Spirit. You see what it says here? It brings joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant. They give light to the eyes. The Bible says that his word is like a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. God's word gives light to us. It shines a light on our journey. It helps me see the obstacles in the road. It helps me see the direction I should be going. I need this light in my life. I can't figure it out on my own. I need God's word to enlighten me. His word gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold. How many believe that's true? Do you really believe that? What you have in your hand is more valuable than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey. You love honey? This is sweeter. You say, you don't know the honey I've been eating. I'm telling you, this is sweeter than honey. This is sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. I need some warnings in my life. I need to know if I'm heading for a cliff, that the red lights are flashing. I need some warning signs popping up around me. And the Bible says, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So there is a great, great blessing that comes from God's word to change us. It touches our soul. It touches our heart. It brings joy. It brings revival. It brings understanding. It brings wisdom. It gives insight. Why would we lay it aside? This is what the people in Thessalonians experienced. They experienced an acceptance of God's word that began to work within them, and Paul wanted to make sure they were stable in their faith and not shaken and not removed from that. So, in closing, what do we need? I got a couple things I'll close with. These are just points that maybe you can take away from this. One, accept the word of God as it is, in truth, the word of God. I hope that none of us are people who make excuses for the word of God. What do I mean by that? Well, I know the Bible says, but we know. Or I know the Bible says, but here's what I have found. Or I know that's what the Bible says, but that's not for me today. Or I know that's what the Bible... You know, we have all these reasons or things that we say that push it away from us. You, in a sense, can become your biggest enemy. Talk about destroying your faith. I mean, if you can't believe in the Word of God and have faith stirred by what He says, where are you going to go to get faith? The second thing is, recognize that trials can have a way of unsettling me. None of us are immune from this. A trial has a potential to move you. Now, the Bible says He will never let anything come to us that is not a way of escape. But what happens in our lives sometimes is we don't look for the escape. We become overwhelmed by the trial, and somehow our faith begins to falter. God has left me. He doesn't love me anymore. Or whatever may come into your heart or mind at that time, but somehow your faith becomes shaken. Paul the Apostle said this. When he was going to Jerusalem, they said, bonds and afflictions await you. In other words, you're going to go into a place where you're going to be captured and tortured for Christ, persecuted for Him. But what did he say? Does anybody remember what he said? None of these things move me. None of these things move me. I just want to finish the course. I want to do what Jesus sent me to do. I'm not going to be moved by these things. And so I just pray that we all are aware that trials can come into our life that could potentially move us, but let's stand in faith. And if we find our faith is faltering, get some help. Find a Timothy, somebody who can come and speak to you and say, let me strengthen and encourage your faith. Don't let these things unsettle you. Third thing is, acknowledge that we need people in our life. This is not to diminish the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not to diminish power of God's word. There are sometimes you will stand alone. Like David, when he said he encouraged himself in the Lord. There are times you will need that. But the Lord has placed us into a family. We're part of the body of Christ. And we need each other. I mean, if you read between the lines in this chapter 3, you'll see that Paul, his big heart, his effort was, I want to get somebody to be there with you. I want to come. I can't make it. I'm going to send Timothy. It actually says here in the chapter
Chapter 2, I try to come to you again and again, but Satan blocked our way. Chapter 2, verse 18, Satan blocked our way. Satan doesn't want Paul to come there. Why? Because Paul is going to come and strengthen their faith. How is it that sometimes Satan blocks us from going to our brother? We're afraid they won't accept us. We're afraid we won't have the words to say. We're afraid. For whatever reason, sometimes there's a block there. You see a brother, you see a sister whose faith is weakened and they're being moved off the foundation, and the Lord has put them upon your heart. Go to them. Be that person who can be the strength, who can be the encourager. If the Lord's put them on your heart, He will give you the wherewithal to help them. Be a Timothy. So sometimes you need a Timothy. None of us are called to stand alone. Sometimes you need a Timothy. Sometimes you should be the Timothy. Amen? Number four, remember that we always have an enemy. We have an enemy that wants to destroy our faith. But we have a Savior who prays for us. Amen? Remember what Jesus said one time? Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Remember that? What did Jesus say? I will prevent him from doing that? He didn't say that, did he? Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. That's where Jesus is at. He's not always there to protect us from the sifting, but he is praying for us for this. Our faith wouldn't fail. That we would stay firm on the foundation. And how many of you know that Jesus' prayers work? Amen? You may find sometimes my prayers aren't getting answered, but his prayers always get answered. And Peter, he prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Be the man of strength for others. And then finally, God does want to supply whatever is lacking in our faith. So today, maybe you feel you're weak. Let's all stand together. Maybe you feel you're weak. Maybe you feel you've been undone by some trial in your life. Maybe you feel that Satan has his focus upon your life and somehow he's trying to destroy your faith. Listen, the Lord wants to supply what's lacking in your faith. And I believe he gives that through his word, through his spirit, through his people. If you feel that's going on in your life right now, and you're like a person who's wondering, where am I at on that foundation? Come and get some help. Come and talk to somebody. And we'll try to link you up with somebody that can encourage you. There are lots of people here who have strong faith in the Lord, who've walked with him for years and years. And you don't have to walk with him for many years to still be strong in faith. Right. And there are people who can speak into your life. Don't isolate yourself. If you feel you're in that condition, find help. Father, I pray that you would move upon our hearts like you did the Apostle Paul to have a deep concern for our brothers and sisters, that we want to see each of us continue in the faith, not to be moved or shaken by the trials that may come our way, not to allow the enemy to have the upper hand in our life. Lord, we do pray that our faith would be sustained. We pray that your word would find a place in our hearts to encourage that faith to grow. And Lord, I pray that every one of us here would endeavor to be like a Timothy, like a Paul, who longs to be with the struggling brother, the struggling sister, to lend a hand, to speak a word, to offer a prayer, to somehow help move them back to the firm foundation. I ask you for this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.